The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The European Commission has formally begun an investigation into Meta. This is related to a suspected Russian influence campaign. There is increasing discontent in the Commission about Meta failing to moderate that disinformation, and it's of particular consequence given the forthcoming European elections. Joining me now to tell us about it is Dr. David Robert Grimes, disinformation expert and author of The Irrational Ape. David, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, why are the EU looking so closely at Meta?
So under recent EU legislation, very large online tech companies like Meta have got a separate designation because they are so important to our information ecosystem. And they have much stricter regulations on what they should be doing about misleading content on their platforms. They're not quite treated like a publisher, but it's starting to look at them. The fact these can influence entire nations, that responsibility is being recognised by the EU Commission.
Now, we know so many billions of people are going to the polls this year, and that's kind of a part of all of this. They're concerned that many elections will be distorted by malign forces.
Now, this isn't a new thing. There's been constant efforts by Russia since the era of social media began to mislead with it. But because this is such a pivotal year with major elections, we obviously think of it the American one, but France are having theirs, as many other countries doing it, there's an increased fear inside Europe, and it's a data-driven fear. It's not a paranoia here that Russia are trying to interfere. And they certainly are. There's a thing that's been going on since at least 2022 called Operation Doppelganger. And this has been a Russian attempt to spoof variants of quite reputable news sources. So like the New York Times or Le Parisien and things like that, to fool people into accepting fake headlines. And these are always putting out pro-Russia things or anti-Ukraine things. And they're starting to do this for politics as well. We've seen it previously, and Russia have a long track record of doing this.
So they masquerade as being the legitimate news source because they know that people are becoming more educated and realizing that a lot of the stuff online is fake news, but they trust the BBC, they trust CNN and so on.
We use this as a shortcut, but we're very big on aesthetics. If something looks like it's legitimate, we don't tend to dig underneath the surface. So they catch a lot of that. I mean, and really, most people don't have the time. So if something looks like it came from the New York Times, you might go, oh, that's the New York Times. You might miss that the website is slightly different or that it's a mock-up of it. They're relying on that, but it's very, very effective. The other big concern is that Meta have not been really vetting who they're selling ads to. It is very cheap, proportionally speaking, for the audience you get to buy ads on Meta. And there has been a huge amount that they've already demonstrated in the EU Commission level of Russian-sponsored disinformation ads that have been bought up on Meta and there's been no questions asked. So that's also something they're looking at.
Now, what sort of stories do they like to fake? I mean, Project Doppelganger, you mentioned Ukraine. What are they saying about Ukraine? Is it about they're always losing the war no matter how well they do, that kind of thing?
Yeah, a little bit. So there's different tangles. Now, the first thing we have to realize is a thing called the Russian fire hose model of propaganda. And that is to be unrelenting and multi-channel. It doesn't have to be consistent. That confuses people. There's not a consistent message. They're trying to capture different audiences by, as Steve Bannon would say, flooding the zone. And that's exactly what they do. For example, to a left-wing audience, they'll try to amplify ideas that Ukraine is run by neo-Nazis, despite the fact that the prime minister is a man of Jewish extraction, or is a, and then they'll do things to a right-wing audience to say that Ukrainians are coming over here and taking all our resources. They will try to cater the message different ways. They will often put headlines out that sanctions against Russia are ineffective or Russophobic. So they actually cater their messaging to the audience they expect to get. So they very effectively can get both left-wing and right-wing people with slight tweaks of the information.
Now, do they do the same to their own population, propagandizing them?
That's a very astute thing. Yes, they absolutely do. So they can then feed this back into Russia and say, look, the world opinion is very divided about us, or like they're more supportive than you think. And it's a way of controlling the narrative. The other thing they tend to do inside Russia is they amplify very, very fringe figures. For example, Claire Daly and Mick Wallace would have very minority opinions on relative to the rest of Europe on Ukraine, yet they will get massive and disproportionate coverage inside Russia to try and give people in Russia the impression that Europe is more divided about Ukraine than it really is.
Yeah, by simply having MEP after your name, it says Europe.
Well, there's a term sometimes used called useful idiots, as in people that will parrot propaganda unquestioningly, and that is something that Russia very much like. If they can find someone from outside Russia who's repeating their propaganda, they amplify that back inside Russia.
Now, when you talk about the fire hose technique in terms of propaganda and how they use it, I mean, it's kind of reminiscent of what they are doing on the battlefield as well. They just throw everything at it. Life of the conscripts particularly is cheap.
And you could say World War One and World War Two, they had a similar approach.
Yeah.
If they have huge resources, and that's one thing Russia has always had, is huge resources. So they can throw an awful lot at this. But I think what confuses people about the fire hose model, and it was named by the Rand Corporation who studied it at first, is the fact that it isn't consistent. And I think that confuses people. A lot of the narratives that are pumped into the online discourse are absolutely mutually exclusive. But it doesn't matter.
Okay, back in the day, it was Pravda.
Whatever
Pravda said, that was it. That was the party line.
Well, they also, back in the day, what they would often do was plant journalists and foreign newspapers to run embarrassing stories about the countries they wished to undermine. So there was a track record of doing that as well. But mainly, Pravda was very much what's called white propaganda, which means it was propaganda for the people. You knew it was propaganda when you read it. Then there are other shades. There are grey propaganda, where the source is unclear, and black propaganda, where things are manipulated to look like they're from another source. Mm. Russia has been very much going grey and black on this campaign.
Now, because they are designated as a VLOP, a very large online platform, Meta, they believe, the European Commission believes, has particular responsibilities. What is the charge against them? Is that they're just not bothered, or are they sloppy? Are they doing no moderation at all?
They are claiming to moderate things very tightly, and all their statements claim we have very strict policies against that. But actually, the European Commission has very strong evidence that they are not. And this is a little bit like asking a fox to guard a chicken coop, right? Facebook profiteer massively, both from the sale of ads off this, and I'm using Meta, the parent company. They sell their ads, so that's obvious financial traction. But the kind of people that are engaging with Russian disinformation are engaging with it. They are staying on the sites, Instagram and Facebook and even WhatsApp to some extent, much longer, sharing this stuff, and therefore they are exposed to advertiser revenue an awful lot more. So I think one of the problems that we're seeing in Europe, and we're seeing around the world, but the European Commission is trying to tackle it, is that the companies that claim they are, you know, going to really taking strides to measure this and take measures against it aren't really doing anything, and they've no incentive to do so.
Mm-hmm.
So again, and we've seen this with the Facebook whistleblower a few years ago, came out and said, actually, Facebook, no. And I'm using Facebook as as one example. They know that they have measures they could introduce to clamp down on misinformation, disinformation. They don't want to, because it's not profitable to do so. So that's where the two interests are colliding. And we'll see in the EU Commission what comes out of that.
There is one simple solution, and you adverted to it at the beginning, and that is turn them all into designated publishers. And therefore, they are actionable against for anything they print that is untrue or damaging.
Absolutely. Anything said on this radio show, for example, is actionable. Anything said in the Irish Times is actionable, whatever newspaper you like. Facebook can, or Meta or Instagram or even X can put anything they want on it and then claim they're not a publisher. So they can discount responsibility for that. Even though the majority of people, particularly young people, are getting their news from those sites. So there's a strange disconnect that we probably have to look at squaring that circle at some stage. And it's going to be a messy fight. The social media companies don't want that responsibility. They want the profit, but not the responsibility. And there's an increasing recognition at a European level that, you know, this is absolutely wrong and we need to do something about it. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out.
David, thank you very much.
Thanks, Pat.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.